Richard. You were mine for just a while, and I would put no style, and I never once looked back at that church across the track. I was the gossip of the town, but now my heart it can't be found at your cross where you were found. Take me up on your way down. Pick me up on your way down. When you come to wear your crown, when the rapture starts before you, take me back where I belong. And I have learned your word is true, and I'll be waiting here for you. When you thunder to the ground, pick me up on. I have changed my attitude. With the Lord I now stand true. My old friends can take the blame. You can see I'm not ashamed. Lord, you are my pride and joy, and I have no other toys. In your love I can be found. Pick me up on. Pick me up on your way down. When you come to wear your crown, when the rapture starts before you, take me back where I belong. And I have learned your word is true, and I'll be waiting here for you. When you thunder to the ground, pick me up on. I have learned your word is true, and I'll be waiting here for you. When you thunder to the ground, pick me up on your way down. God is good all the time. Let's go to him in prayer.
Father, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for the honor and privilege we have to be in your house this morning. We just thank you for the little bit cooler temperatures today and the clouds. But we just thank you for that beautiful sunset you gave us last night as well. I just pray you be with this service, that everything was said and done will be to your honor and glory this morning. Just prepare our hearts and mind to worship you through song and through word. Just be with Jeff. Just take away the distractions, Lord, and just speak through him. And this morning, we just thank you for the blessings that you provide us in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, y'all ready to sing this morning? How many of y'all come to church this morning to worship Jesus? How many didn't? Anybody? I didn't figure I'd get a hand raised there. Here, will you sing with me this morning? Will you worship with me this morning? Let's have a good time in the Lord. Let's sing, okay?
Well, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I'm on my way to glory land, I shall not be moved. On my way to glory land, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved.
just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Y'all hug somebody's neck this morning, would you? On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Well, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Well, glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Well, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Thank you, Lord. Man, thank y'all. I'm ready. Hey, Jeff. Don't sit down, man. We'll trick everybody. What's this? Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the sea will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Thank you, Lord. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. mountains bow down and the sea will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compared to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Amen. Thank y'all. Amen. Y'all awake now, everybody? Good. Y'all ain't awake yet. Are y'all gonna stand again? That'd be good. Thank you, Ken. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Yes, there is power in the blood. Would you or evil the victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Y'all sing it loud. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the prayer. Your passion and pride. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the blood, power in the blood.
Self-saving, lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the prayer. Here's a question for you. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily in praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. I met a little boy with glasses, one they call the geek. I'm a little girl who never smiles. I got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep. I'm that kid on every playground that always chosen last. single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend, but is it too much to ask? Don't laugh at me, don't call me names, don't get your pleasures from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me. I'm that crippled on the corner. You pass me on the street. And I wouldn't be out here begging if I had enough to eat. And don't think I don't know that our eyes never meet. I lost my wife and little boy. Someone crossed that yellow line the day we laid them in the ground. That's the day I lost my mind. Right now I'm down to holding this little cardboard sign. So don't laugh at me, don't call me names, don't get your pleasures from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm short, I'm tall, I'm deaf, I'm blind, hey, aren't we all? So don't laugh at me, don't call me names, don't get your pleasures from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all.
If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and we will continue our discussion on the model prayer. Anybody getting anything out of the series? Is it helping you understand the elements of prayer and the things that should be a part of our prayers? Because I read a quote this week. By D.A. Carson. It said, it's better to pray a lot with brevity than little with length. Because we stay in tune. We stay in companionship with Jesus. And I think that's important, because if there's anything I think Christians are really hyper-judgmental about themselves and others, it's our prayer life, right? Are you praying enough? Are you praying long enough? And as I've said before at the beginning of the series, I always felt growing up in church, man, I was a sorry cuss because, I mean, I had all my sin resume out there. But then I never prayed like the, quote, godly people. You know, I didn't wake up in the morning and pray 2 hours a day. Man, my knees hurt after about 30 seconds. And, you know, and it's just, you know, there's always a comparison about how godly you were and how long you prayed. And if you'll notice, we've been reading the model prayer each week, and I don't know if you've caught this, but it ain't very long, right? Now, if you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, it is packed in with so much stuff, but so much of it comes out of this model prayer thought. Our anxiety, how we should look at life, everything is kind of centered around this centerpiece of prayer. So this morning we move to the next line. And the subtitle I've given this is The Pardon Within Prayer. The Pardon Within Prayer. Today's message will be one that confronts us, because everybody in here, I bet, struggles with forgiveness. Would you agree? Either living and accepting God's forgiveness, forgiving someone else, but oh, what about that one person that is really hard to forgive, and that's the person we see every day in the mirror. Anybody struggle with self-forgiveness? I bet we all do it sometimes. But today's message confronts us because forgiveness is such a cornerstone element of the Christian faith. Jesus said that the world will know that we are his disciples and how we love each other. That's John 13:34. What does that look like, though, in real life? How we forgive each other is one of the greatest illustrations of love there is. Not just a love for the person in need of forgiveness, but also a love for God. How we forgive others and our willingness to forgive others is not just a illustration of love and how we are to love the person maybe in need of forgiveness, but also how we love God. The person who is unwilling to forgive in that moment is struggling loving God, because God is a God of forgiveness. Amen. To simply hold on to the idea of love is theoretical, but to put it into practice, into the context of forgiveness, makes it practical and real. Simply put, if you do not forgive, you are not loving God. Period. And one of the most, if you were to put some of the biggest topics out there as far as the people in what I've counseled, what they struggle with, forgiveness is number one. And one of the biggest questions and one of the biggest elements that Christians within the body of Christ struggle with is forgiveness. Not just forgiveness of others, but forgiveness of self. And it's because we've misunderstood God's forgiveness. Does that make sense? Forgiveness, we're going to talk about this mainly today, is not an option. Because to love God is to forgive. You say, well Jeff, I'm not ready yet. You better get ready. Right? God is compassionate. He understands that inner struggle. But the reason so often we struggle, and we're going to talk more about this, with forgiving others is because we've set ourselves up as God. Right? I mean, that's the reality of it. And I think the other part is a misunderstanding of forgiveness. Now, this doesn't mean you may not struggle with forgiveness, but remember, we are called and commanded to be forgivers. So many who have accepted God's forgiveness live in a real misunderstanding of forgiveness, either in the way God has forgiven them their sins or how they are to forgive others. The real issue is that grace in Jesus is like a domino effect. What happens in the domino effect? When one is touched, it touches all. Does that make sense? And that's what forgiveness is. We are to be sloshers of grace, right? When we go out into our world, we should be so filled with God's grace and living in his forgiveness that we want to slosh it out onto the rest of the world. We want to sling grace out there so that they can experience what the definition of the gospel is. And what is the definition of the gospel? The good news. What is the good news? That God is a forgiving God. God is a God of do-overs. Have you ever thought about the very phrase, born again? I've used this illustration before many times. But what happened when you're playing kickball or whatever and you really shank it, right? And what do we often say as kids? Do-over, right? And what are we wanting in that? Another shot at it. Hey, let's not let that one count. I want another shot at it, right? Does the phrase born again sound a lot like the phrase do over? That God will come into your heart and to my heart and to forgive us in such a way that he is giving us a do over so that we may live as if we were born again. Does that make sense? Forgiveness is a powerful, wonderful, hard, messy struggle of beauty within the Christian world. If forgiveness was not real, there would be no Christianity, because we are a community of forgiveness. The real issue is that grace is a domino effect, and once I experience it, then it should naturally overflow from my heart to another. If forgiveness does not overflow from God's grace, we may just be missing out on God's grace ourselves. Does that make sense? Because the only person, and I'm going to say this several times in today's message, and I don't know if I'm going to finish today's message, it may be a part two. But forgiveness is the cornerstone of everything the Christian does. It's the cornerstone. And if you don't forgive, the only person unforgiveness hurts is the person unwilling to forgive. And the person that is unwilling to forgive can say, bless Jesus, and raise their hands and sing hallelujahs and all that. But if they're not willing to apply that grace in all areas, they may not have that grace themselves. That's the reality of it. And the other truth is, if you're not willing to forgive, think of a fruit tree. It's got life in it. And what happens throughout the year? That fruit, what? Grows and it ripens, because it's in touch with that life source within it. Well, the reality of it is, if you cut that life source, what happens to, if you cut that limb off or crack that limb, what happens to that life source? It diminishes. And what happens to the fruit then? It shrivels up. Would that depict any of our hearts this morning, that maybe our hearts have shriveled up because we have lost touch with the grace that we have gotten in Jesus? And therefore, instead of being a ripened full fruit for the kingdom, we are growing cold and bitter and wanting. Does that make sense? Let's begin this morning, before we read our text, about what forgiveness is not. Because many people, and I've worked with a lot of trauma survivors that have horrendous stories. And when I would mention, hey, you know what? Forgiveness is going to be a part of the journey. That first or second or even fifth session, they were like, I'm out on that. Right? So-and-so did that to me. Mm-mm. Not doing it. And every one of us, if we'll evaluate our heart, has that thing, that event, or that depiction in our mind, that if someone would do that, they shouldn't deserve forgiveness. Don't we? Right? Whether that be offense against a kid, right? That touches our heart at a very deep, deep, deep level. Or whatever it may be, we have all have that area, whatever that is, that we go, yeah, right there. If somebody does that, I got it too. Promise you I do. Several of them. But the reality of it is, if God is willing to forgive us all our sins, are we any less commanded to forgive anyone all their sins? Does that make sense? Because God didn't say, hey, here's the category of sins. There you go. Those are forgive those others, man, you can wrestle with. No, that's not what he says here. He says, if you're going to live in forgiveness, you must, didn't say you might be, you must be a forgiver. I'm going to say that again. If you're going to live in God's forgiveness, you must be a forgiver. Because it is one of the turning points and identifiers of God's people. Why? Because, as one of the points we'll see, we are a community of forgiveness. So let's look at what forgiveness, first of all, is not. First of all, forgiveness is not condoning an action. Many people struggle with forgiving others because they think, well, I have to agree with what they've done. No, you don't. Anybody ever lied to God? God didn't say, hey, that's okay. It's all good now, right? I'm okay with you lying to me. Did God ever say that? Now, he may forgive us, but he doesn't condone the action as acceptable. And so if you're struggling with forgiving others, you must first realize that forgiving and offering grace to others is not condoning or accepting the action as okay. Does that make sense? Forgiveness is not just benefiting the guilty. Oh, well, if I forgive them, Jeff, they get away with it. No? No? Because I'm going to tell you something that is probably, and I've seen it many, many times, the thing that is more confronting and more convicting is having someone come and say, I forgive you for the wrong you've done, more than any judge's gavel can ever do. Does that make sense? What does the Bible say in Romans? Don't be vengeful. Leave room for God. Why? Because we're not God. And again, the only person that forgiveness or the lack of forgiveness hurts is the person unwilling to forgive. So here's the thing. When I forgive, it's not just benefiting the guilty. It is setting my heart and soul free. Think about, let's say you have four or five different relationships where you need to forgive, but you've been holding on to bitterness. And imagine a rope being tied from you to those events. Let's say you start out with one event, the ball and chain picture. You might go, I'm just going to muscle my way through this. But then what happens is, the more you don't forgive, the easier it is not to forgive, right? And now you got 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 relationships that are those ball and chains. How weighed down is your mind and conscience and your heart going to be over a while? Am I talking to anybody here this morning? Just making sure. And what forgiveness does, forgiveness is the key out of bitter prison. Forgiveness is the key out of bitter prison. And who would want to stay in a jail cell or a prison cell having the key to the door? Who would want to sit there and stay there and go, I think I'll just choose to be in this? And that illustration would go, that's silly. But how many of us are living in the bitterness prison because we will not pick up the key of forgiveness and let ourselves out? There is nothing that will rob the Christian's joy like the lack of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not putting yourself back in harm's way of an unhealthy person. Right? Been in a relationship that's hurt you, and that person is unhealthy. We are called to forgive them, but we're not called to be idiots. Right? We're not called to be idiots. And if someone is living still in an unhealthy way that could be harmful, why would you put yourself back there? You can forgive. And the Bible says live at peace with everyone as much as it is what? Possible. But the reality is there's some people you can't live at peace with because of where they're at in their own walk with God or lack of walking with God. It is not letting someone off the hook from having to deal with their injustice. Forgiveness confronts their wrongdoing of injustice with a love that convicts deeper than any judge's gavel. Forgiveness is not painless. Now, many people want to avoid forgiveness because, it's going to hurt. I just want to go, duh. It's going to hurt, right? And here's why it's going to hurt. Because when bitterness grabs hold of your heart, it is the spiritual cancer. And to forgive, we have to go in and do open heart surgery. And that's going to hurt. Because you're going to find not only did the person do you wrong, but you're going to have to confront your own wrongdoing in your unwillingness to forgive. So it's not painless. And what's the greatest picture of that? The cross. Jesus suffered and died, was shamed, was nailed with spikes for the sake of what? Forgiveness. There's no greater picture of the pain of forgiveness than the cross of Jesus. Forgiveness is not free. It brings freedom, but it costs. Consider again the cross of Jesus. It costs. Because, and I found this in working with people in my own life, some things that the thing it costs is my own comfort in my own bitterness. Anybody ever get comfortable in your own bitterness? And we don't like change, and God starts rooting things out and digging things out, and it just makes us feel danged uncomfortable. It is not a cop-out or a weak act, as many have said. It takes real strength to forgive. You want to see the bodybuilders of Christianity? You find that person who's a real forgiver. It is not a weak act. It is not a cop-out. It takes real strength. And if you don't believe me, try to forgive somebody. Right? Try to forgive somebody. So let's look at our text this morning. And let's read it together. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, just for the sake of time, we're going to focus just on the point number one, the command of forgiveness. Do you realize that forgiveness is a command? It is not a suggestion. It's not a if you want to. It's not a Christian option. It is a command of God. But let me ask you first and foremost, do you struggle with forgiveness? Now, I'm going to ask for a raise of hands. Anybody in here ever struggled with forgiveness? Yeah. And that point of struggle may be believing that God actually has forgiven you. Anybody struggle with that? Because oftentimes we are being a greater judge to ourselves than even God is. Anybody struggle with forgiving and letting go and removing and moving on in relationships? Yeah. Anybody ever struggle with self-forgiveness? I used to, that's really the thing that most of us struggle with out of the three, I believe, just in my experience of working with people, is yes, we can get to a place where we believe that God has forgiven us. We're good there. And then you can get to a place where I have forgiven others, but the person that we often overlook or struggle the most with is self-forgiveness. And we'll talk a lot about this through this message in the next 2 weeks. But I used to get clients and I would have them walk in. I had an office and was a part of a group room, so it was quite large. And I would tell them to get in one corner and I said, I want you to walk to me, to my desk, using both feet. And they'd look at me strange, like, what are you up to? So they would walk and I go, well, you did good, right? Yeah. They'd kind of squirm and laugh and go, you weirdo. And I go, now I want you to go back over there, but I want you to use just one foot. And they're like, what? I just want you to use one foot. You get the luxury of picking which foot, but I just want you to use one foot. Can't use two, use one. You want me to hop? Well, you can call it that if you want, but yeah, just one foot. And they would hop back across. And I said, now tell me, in that experiment, which one felt better? Well, using 2 feet. Which one got you where you wanted to go safer and more stable? Using 2 feet. Now, which one got you where you wanted to go quicker? Using 2 feet. I said, so do you think that maybe in your own journey that using 2 feet would be the way to go? Yeah. So why do you use 1 foot to kick your own butt all the time? Because when you're not forgiving yourself and living in that forgiveness, you're doing nothing but kicking your own butt, trying to get somewhere with the other foot. And guess what? It hurts and you go half as fast. You're slowing your journey down. I have to think in pictures. Plus, it was a funny thing. But we all have struggled with forgiveness. Have you come to believe that forgiveness is an option? And many Christians live in this place. I'm going to get there, Jim. I'm going to get there. But, you know, I just don't feel it right now. What do you think Jesus would say to that? Yeah, love you, but don't care what you feel, right? I mean, think about this. How would you, in the middle of why Christ has been crucified for the forgiveness of sins for the whole world, you walk up to him and you go, Jesus, I really want to forgive, but I'm just not there yet. What do you think he might reply to you? That got real, didn't it? Or, Jesus, I know that I'm receiving forgiveness in what you're doing right now presently, and I really want to forgive. I'm just not feeling it. What do you think he might say to that? He got real again, didn't he? But how many of us do that to the Lord every day? I'm just not feeling it. Forgiveness for the believer, let me make this clear, is not an option. Do you know why so many families end in divorce? Because they never practice forgiveness. The reason the family is falling apart within the body of Christ is because they haven't practiced forgiveness. The one thing they will be the most proud of on a resume is they are forgiven by God in Jesus, but they will not offer it when others forgive. And I love what C.S. Lewis says. Forgiveness is a great idea until you have someone to forgive. Forgiveness is a great idea until you have someone to forgive. But the reason so many families are falling apart within the body of Christ is because they're not practicing forgiveness. And those that have lasted 50 years but are miserable, they're just gritting their teeth and not living in joy because they haven't practiced forgiveness. The lack of forgiveness within the body of Christ is shameful. Because we would not be a body, we would not be a community if it were not for forgiveness. Now, this should not be a shock to us here, but it will offend us here. No one has ever offended or wronged you even half again as much as you have offended and wronged God. No one has ever offended or wronged you half again as much as you and I have offended and wronged God. And think about this. Has the wrongs of others, now somebody could say yes to this based on the tragedy, but has the wrongs of others cost you your child? Now, some can say, yeah, because those events have taken place. But that is beginning to look at what it cost Christ and cost the Heavenly Father. to forgive you and I, to give us this eternal hope that we have called new creation, it cost God his one and only Son. And if it cost him at such a level, why do we frivolously take forgiveness and put it in the back burner of our mind? It cost God deep to forgive. We are called to forgive because we ourselves need forgiveness. Forgive us our debts. And what is the assumption? What is the prayee, if you want to call it that, in the model prayer? What is he saying? Forgive me, God, of my sins, my debts, my trespasses, as I have what? Forgiven. What? Notice it's past tense, not future tense. Forgive me. He didn't say, forgive me, God, as I will forgive. Does it? It says, forgive me, God, as I have forgiven. Because the one who understands this element of prayer understands the connection between receiving God's forgiveness and it sloshing out on others. Does that make sense? Forgiveness is humility. Revenge is hate. Now, when you turn on the news this week, do you think there's a lot of revenge in our society today? And what is that about? Hate. And often the ones who say, well, these people are spewing hate, are being just as hateful. What we need in all areas of our land and nation is a revival in forgiveness. I won't say just revival, but a revival in forgiveness. We need to learn how to forgive and let go. Not because it's something that feels good. Because I don't know about you, but any time that I've been confronted in my own heart that I need to forgive, I always get the picture of what was wronged. And that'll never make me feel joyful, do you? True forgiveness never comes where you go, this just feels good, right? But the reason that we forgive is because God has made a way to forgive us. And if we're going to change the world and be the light of the world, it ain't about going and screaming from the rooftops, holy hallelujahs, and passing tracts out on strange people in the corner. It is how we love one another, and the key to that love is what? Forgiveness. That's the key. Because how could you and I step in and experience the love of God without passing through the curtain of forgiveness? We couldn't do it. We couldn't experience the depth of the grace without forgiveness. C.S. Lewis says, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable in others, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. And all when we say that, how many of us are guilty, even in the moment I may be speaking, of categorizing sins, going, but I didn't sin like they did. Oh, you Pharisee. Right? I didn't do it bad like that. I mean, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. You know, I'm not that bad. From whose perspective? The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Whether you're successful in the eyes of the world or whether you're awaiting your own death card on death row right now for some atrocity, we all are sinners in need of forgiveness and need to learn how to forgive. How different would our world be if Christians were as known as much for their acts of forgiveness as they were for their church splitting, for their self-righteous deeds, How different would our world be if we were more known for forgiveness? Martin Luther says, forgiveness is God's command. Is God's command. Matthew 6, just a few verses later, 14 through 15 says, for if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive you your wrongdoing. Why? Because you have misunderstood what grace is. Does that make sense? You've misunderstood what grace is. I'm going to close with a passage in Matthew 18. It says, Peter came to him, and that him be capitalized, so that'd be Jesus, and said, Lord, how many times could my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. Now seven, if you don't know this, is the number for completion or perfection, right? As many as seven times? Jesus says, I tell you, not as many as seven, but 70 times seven. Let's knock it out of the water. Let's go to as much as you can imagine and then blow that out of the water. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to settle accounts, one who owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. And since he had no way to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had had to be sold to pay the debt. At this, the slave fell face down before him and said, be patient with me and I will pay you everything. Then the master of that slave had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Now, 10,000 talents is more than he could have paid in a lifetime. I know we're not familiar with talents and denarii, right? But it was more than he could have paid in a lifetime. So it'd be like, let's say, I'm just for figures, on normal man's wages, $10 million versus $500. Right? You see the difference? So he goes and he says, but that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, started choking him, and said, pay what you owe. At this, his fellow slave fell face down and began begging. Does this sound familiar? Just a few verses earlier? From the guy that is now choking him. Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he wasn't willing. On the contrary, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay what was owed. When the other slaves saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Then after he had summoned him, his master said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And his master got angry and handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that he was owed. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. And that's the words of Christ. Do you think he takes forgiveness pretty serious? Yeah. Does that parable sound like forgiveness is an option? No. Not at all. But we've made it be that way to soften the blow so Christians don't get offended. But if we're going to follow Christ, Jesus has come and die. Kill your self-will so that you can truly have life. And many of us are being robbed of the joy of Jesus because we live in the bitterness of unforgiveness because we're still setting ourselves up as God. And we need to surrender to him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word, in your word. Thank you, first of all, for your forgiveness and your willingness to forgive, Lord. None of us deserve it, but it's only through the grace that you gave us at the cross that we may have and experience forgiveness. Help us to be forgivers. Lord, you know we struggle with it. But we should never use our struggle to forgive to be a cop-out to actually forgive. Because you know that real freedom exists only in forgiveness. This is why it's called the good news. We can now, through Christ our Savior, live in the forgiveness and the freedom that we have because of what you did for us on the cross. But Lord, help us to bestow that to others. Help us usher in the ways of heaven, of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, through acts of forgiveness. Lord, we should be the light of the world because we are a community of forgiveness. The world doesn't want to forgive. The world wants to spew hate. The world wants to hold records and accounts. The world wants to punish wrongly. But may we confront all this injustice with forgiveness. And may we forgive as we have been forgiven. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.